in our series, Remind Me Who I Am. And we've been looking at who we are and who God says we are as Christians. And because I think when you know who you are, it changes things. It changes how you make decisions in your life. It affects your attitude, your priorities in life. When you know who you are, it changes how you handle your stuff, how you live. When you know who you are, you know what to do. It's very defining in your life. Today, I want to remind Christians, you are change agents. You are influencers in this world. You know, Jesus said it this way, Matthew, the fifth chapter, says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. Christians, you are the salt of the earth. Now, what's it mean? You know, is that a good thing? Well, in Jesus' day, the audience that he was speaking to, they would have known that, salt, it was a vital commodity. It was a time before refrigerators. Salt was vital for survival in that day. In ancient Rome, often people were paid. Instead of in coins or cash, they were paid in salt. You know, the Roman soldiers, part of their pay always was in salt. It was called a salarium. It's where we get the word salary from. Salt had this really high value on it. And that's how you got the phrase, you know, he's not worth his salt, she's not worth her salt, you know. Jesus, he's talking to followers, and he says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, Jesus didn't say, you are a salt of the earth person, you know, because we use that term, don't we? In our culture, we say, you know, like, you're a really good person, you're really down to earth, you know, hardworking, that kind of thing. But Jesus is saying, you are the salt of the earth. That's who you are. The fact is, you're not this really good person, this really down to earth person. You, in fact, aren't good. You aren't a good person. The fact is, God saved you. And because of that relationship, you've been transformed in your life. And because of that transformation, you should be a divine change agent in the world. You should be an influencer for God in this world. You should be the salt of the earth in your life. So what's salt do? Well, a couple things. Salt preserves, doesn't it? If you're a Christian, you are a divine preserver. You're helping people find eternal life. That should be part of what you do as a Christian. Everybody is going to spend eternity in one of two places, either heaven or hell. We talk a lot around here about marking eternity with our lives. In fact, that is part of the main mission of Faith Fellowship. It's why we exist. You know, it's to lead people in a growing relationship with God, which really means two things. It means, one, we are to reach people that do not have a relationship with God. We're to help them take the step to make Jesus Christ the Savior of their life and the Lord of their life. The second part is to help Christians grow in their faith. Whether you are a brand new Christian or you've been a Christian 100 years, the fact is we're here to help you grow. Salt preserves. It's got an eternal quality to it. Eternity's in the balance. We need to remember that. Salt also purifies. I don't know if you've noticed, but we live in an impure world, don't we? You should be an agent of purification in this world, making it a better place, pointing to the right things, you know, representing the kingdom of God. We talk often about God honoring in our lives. That means we're pursuing holiness in our life, that we're pursuing a God-honoring life that people will see. Salt also creates thirst, doesn't it? You know, in fact, a lot of bars know this. They put out salty peanuts and chips. You thought they were just being nice, right? But the fact is, it's to make you thirsty. And the theory is that if you're thirsty, you'll drink more and you'll drive up the tab, and so it goes. Christians, as you have a relationship with God, as it's growing, as it's transforming you, what God's doing in your life should spill over into the lives of the people around you in such a way that it creates a divine thirst in their life. In other words, where people look at your life and they go, what is it about you? Why are you always so positive? Where's that joy come from? Where's that peace come from? I mean, what makes you different from everyone else? I don't know what it is, but I want what you have. Salt creates that kind of thirst. Salt also melts. We know that this morning, don't we? I mean, wintertime, we try and keep the roads and the pathways clear of ice and snow. We use salt to melt it. Christians, because of the love of God in your life, you should be able to melt some of the cold hearts around you. You know, someone might be cold toward God, not very open to God. But because of your life, because of what God has done in your life, because of the way that you live your life, they notice it. And their hearts melt just a little bit. And they open themselves up to God just a little bit because of that. And then finally, salt heals. I notice this every time I go down to the Florida Keys and I'll get in the ocean, and the fact is I'll get like a scratch or a cut or something while I'm down there, and I get in the salt water and it accelerates the healing process, like tremendously accelerates it. And see, I think it's the same way that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can be a healing agent in this world to people maybe that have been hurt by religion. I hear that often, you know, just the damage that was done in the name of God, and it's just very sad. Maybe people that have been knocked around a little bit in life, maybe a situation or circumstance. The fact is, we are salt. We are the salt of the earth. That's who you are. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. You know, Jesus says, if you're a follower, you're salt of the earth. Jesus said something else about us. He says, you're the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all in the house. Again, Jesus' audience, they would have totally understood what he was talking about. I mean, in that day, they got it. You know, homes in Palestine, normally they had one window in them. So when night would hit, they'd light candles. Now, I can't imagine, because they didn't have lighters and matches back then, but I can't imagine how hard that was to light a candle. But the fact is, if they were going to leave the house for just a little bit, instead of blowing it out, they'd put it under a bushel basket or a bowl, and it had holes in it so that basically the light wouldn't go out while they were gone. And then as soon as they got back home, they'd uncover it so that they had the benefit of the light filling the room. Jesus is saying to the people there, he says, you know, you all get this in your house. You would never cover the light up if there are people in the home. You want to uncover it so that everyone can benefit from the light. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Here's the deal. Christians, the world needs salt in its life. Why? Because it's impure. The world needs light because there's a lot of darkness in this world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And because you're that, because you're the salt, you don't run from the world's impurities. Because you're salt, you become a change agent in this world. Because you're light, you don't run because it gets a little dark. You shine. You shine bright in your life. Christians, that's who you are. You are the salt of the earth. Think about that. You are the light of the world. It's who you are. You're an influencer for God. You are to mark eternity with your one and only life that God's given you. And I know as I say that, for some, you're going, well, I don't feel like it. Well, it doesn't matter. It's who you are as a Christian. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. It defines you. Well, I need to learn more about the Bible before I do that. I need to get my life in perfect order first. No, no, no. If you're a Christian, it's who you are. It's not something you're going to become. It's who you are right now. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That's who you are. Friends, I want to drive those truths into your life, into your heart, because it's so important. And I just want to look at two very simple things. And that is, if you're a Christian, you have to let your light shine. Now, some of you may be going, well, how do I shine? Well, first of all, you don't have to force it. You don't have to force your light to shine. In other words, you don't go, shine, 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 please. You know, people are watching going, hey, what you doing? I'm shining. You look like you have indigestion. You do not have to force this. When you realize what God's done for you, when you realize who God is, I believe it's just a natural overflow in your life. You will shine. You know, there's a story told in Acts 16 that's recounting what had happened to two guys that were into salt and light living, and they had an impact the people around them. These two guys were named Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, their lives had been transformed by God, miraculously. So everywhere Paul and Silas went, they were telling people about Jesus Christ. They were telling about what God had done in their lives. The religious authorities and the Roman authorities didn't like it. Paul and Silas had been arrested numerous times, beaten on various occasions for sharing. But they just kept sharing with everyone around them what God had done in their lives. On the occasion we're looking at here, they had just healed a woman. And a very powerful businessman kind of goes on full tilt. And he goes to the authorities and he complains. And so Paul and Silas are arrested. They're stripped. They're beaten. They're thrown into jail. And then they're put into the stocks. And I think it's really easy when you're reading the story to go, oh, sounds like they had a bad day. But I want you to pause and think about that for a minute. These guys are stripped in public. Their clothes are ripped off them. They are naked. They've been beaten, and not just beaten. Scripture says they were flogged, which means they were struck with a whip 39 times. And not just any whip. No, this would have been a whip that would have had sharp pieces of metal, bone embedded into the whip. It was made, this whip's made to rip the flesh off the body. Then they're thrown in jail, a dungeon, think dungeon here. Their legs are put into a stock, which kind of like a wishbone. And it not only was used to subdue a prisoner, but it was really to induce cramping. Another form of torture, basically. So this is more than a bad day for these guys. Now, after all this, what do you think Paul and Silas are doing? Well, Scripture says this about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. This is an amazing story to me. These guys, they just shine. They just shine. They didn't have a meeting together and go, you know, see the prisoners over there? We're Christians. Most of them aren't. You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to have a Bible study right now. You know what I think we could do is maybe a really cool outreach event. They didn't do that. These guys know who they are. These guys know who they are, and when you know who you are, you know what to do. And so Paul and Silas, they're just themselves. They're God-honoring in the moment, and they just shine. It's a really cool story. It's kind of like the moon shining. You look at a big, bright moon, and it's shining. But let's get technical here. Is the moon really bright? Hello? No! Oh, I thought that was the answer. The moon's reflecting what? The sun. In the same way, Christians, that's what you do in your life. You are the light of the world. You're not bright on your own. Some of you are thinking, you're telling me. But if you didn't get that, well, never mind. You're not bright on your own. You're simply reflecting the sun, S-O-N, in your life. So as you're living life, people can see God in your life. People can see what God has done in your life, what God is doing in your life. You know, when I was a kid, we used to sing a song in Sunday school or at camp. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. I'm glad you guys, those that said no, you were into it, right? Hide it under a bushel. No, no, no. Paul says it different ways throughout Scripture. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to let people see Jesus Christ in me. In other words, I'm not going to hide it. People will know that are around me what I stand for and who I stand for. He gave me life. He changed my life. I'm going to shine. Remember the next verse? Don't let Satan. Okay, I heard blow it out. I learned poof it out. Some don't say anything. They just go, don't let Satan. Yeah, yes, yes, that was it, right? If you're a Christian and you're not shining, there are two main reasons you're not shining. One, you're just hiding it. You're just hiding it. You got it covered up. And my prayer for you is you uncover the light. The other is that you're allowing Satan to blow it out in your life. Maybe a trial, maybe a temptation, maybe a tough situation. And so you've bought in to the negative side of things. And my prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit reignite the fire so that you burn bright, so that you shine, so that you make a difference in this world. See, it's not, I'm a Christian, hey, I go to church. No, remember who you are. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I have been transformed. And when I think of all that he has done for me, when I think of who God is, it is my greatest joy. It is my privilege to represent and to reflect the love of God to the people around me. God in you, God through you, let it shine. You know, when you're living life, let it shine. When you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, you trust God and you let it shine. When you're facing that situation or that obstacle or that challenge, let God help you with the struggle. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Nothing forced, okay? Don't pretend. Don't put on a happy face when inside you're falling apart. Just naturally let that light shine. See, when you're being salt, when you're being light to the people around you, amazing things happen. Acts 16, verse 26, we pick up the story. It says, suddenly there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison, this is where Paul and Silas are, were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. God showed up. Now, God was there the whole time, giving and supporting Paul and Silas. But God shows up in a visible way. Shakes the foundations of the prison. The doors open. The chains fall. It says, when the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. The jailer wakes up. Apparently he was sleeping on the job. And when he sees the doors open, he assumes that all the prisoners have ran away. And he knew the punishment for letting prisoners escape. He would be executed. It's Roman law. The jailer draws the sword. He's going to kill himself. He wants to avoid the humiliation of the trial and the public. It says, but Paul shouts in a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. Paul and Silas have an opportunity to run. The doors are open. The chains are off of them. Paul and Silas choose not to run. In fact, they choose to be God-honoring. And they just shine. They just shine. And it's interesting because Paul sees this jailer. He sees the jailer about to kill himself. This is the guy that probably had just beaten him. This guy absolutely would have represented the darkness of the Roman Empire. Paul could have thought, hey, you know what? You beat me. You mistreated me. Go ahead. Be done with it. Who cares? He could have remained silent. But he doesn't. No, Paul shouts, says, don't do it. We're all here. He reaches out, in fact, with love and grace. He chooses that path that was God-honoring. He chose to be salt and light that day. See, Paul and Silas knew who they were. And so they reach out with love because they cared. They cared. When you know who you are, you know what to do in the moment. Now, here's the deal. Most people do not care. Hear this. They do not care how much you know. They do not care if you have your life in perfect order. They just don't. What people want to know is, do you care about them? Do you love them? When you care, you can minister in an incredible way, in a very profound way, in people's lives. Now, the flip side of that, you may know a lot. You may be able to quote half the Bible. You may have your life in pretty good order. But here's the deal. If you do not care about the people around you, you are useless. You are useless to making a difference in their life. Paul and Silas, they just love this guy. They show him grace. Hey, don't do it. It's okay. We're here. We stayed. And it's amazing, friends. It is amazing what God can do when you shine in your life. When you see that darkness around you, whatever it is, you see people that are lost, that don't have God in their life, you shine. You shine. You know, it may be at your office. It may be at the job site. It may be at school. It may be at the gym. Maybe your neighborhood. Maybe it's your family. Just shine. Don't be weird, okay? Don't force it on people. It's not something you manufacture. In other words, don't fake it. Don't fake it. Just shine because what God's done in your life. Just shine because of what God is doing in your life, who God is. Let people see that they can trust God, that God makes a difference in the day-to-day, in the problems of life. Let them see that God matters to you. Let them see God shining in your life. See, when you shine, people notice it. They find it curious sometimes. When you shine and care about that person, you have an opportunity to change their life. You do. You know, the first thing I want you to remember, embedded in your heart, you are salt. You are light. It's who you are, Christians. And because you're salt and because you're light, I want you to remember you can change lives. When you know who you are, you know what to do in life. Paul and Silas, they're shining. Verse 29 says the jailer called for lights and he rushes in. He falls down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's the most important question you can ever ask. It's the most powerful question you can ever ask. Someone to go, "I've seen your life. I've seen your faith. Even after getting beaten, I've seen your passion. I heard you singing, and it made me thirsty. I saw your God act, amazingly so. I want what you've got. What must I do to be saved?" And they answered him, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus. You will be saved, you and your household." Friends, when you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you become a new creation. In other words, the old ways, they're gone. And you start living a new way, attempting to be God-honoring in everything you do. When people see that kind of change in you, they take notice. When you know God, when you know the one that created you, that created the universe, friends, it changes you. And when you change, you can't help it. You shine. You are salt. You are light. I mean, when was the last time someone came into your life and you changed their life? I mean, someone walked up and go, "You know what? I've been watching you. I want what you've got." Some of you may say, "Well, it wasn't that long ago." And I would say to you, keep doing what you're doing. That's great. Just keep shining. Some of you would say, "Well, it's been a long time." And I'm going to guess some of you would say, "It's never happened in my life. I've never had anybody ask that." If it's been a while, if it's never happened, I'm going to ask you a tough question. Why? There are three things, I think, that diminish your light, diminish your influence in people's lives. One of the things that seriously diminishes light is when your words do not sync up with your actions. Perhaps you're not shining at all. Perhaps you're a contradiction. "Hey, I'm a Christian." But you're living like the rest of the world. No salt, no light, no difference, actually. You're not honoring God. You're not trusting God. And so you're not shining very bright. Maybe not shining at all. Let me caution parents a little bit here. You know, too many times, parents will say this line, "Do as I say, what? not as I do. Do not do that. I have been in ministry long enough now, I'm seeing second generations that they don't go to church. And if you dig, as I do, sometimes what I find that breaks my heart is kids will say, well, I don't go to church. Mom and Dad said God's the most important thing to her. Everything in their life said that wasn't true. You carry a lot. And parents, it doesn't just affect your kids. It's their kids and their kids and their kids. This is huge. So be very, 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 very careful. Live the life. Let it sync up with what you say is important. What's God honoring? Another thing that diminishes light is when you don't shine consistently. See, if you only shine when things are going your way, I will tell you that the world will look and they're very suspect of it. I mean, do you shine when you face tough challenges? Do you shine when you're going through trials, when you're under pressure, when you face an injustice in your life? Again, I am not saying put on a false face and the whole world's coming undone. You go, oh, I'm happy. See, are you consistent? Do you show that you love and trust God? Do you shine through the good times and the bad? Real important. And one more thing that really decreases the light is when you don't really care about people. They're just like projects in your life. And what I've found is that some Christians get really impatient with people. And so what happens is they go, oh, they need God in their life. And then when it doesn't happen really fast, they write them off. They go, well, so much for them. Move on to the next one. And here's what I want to say to that. Very simple. Don't do that. Do not do that. Do not give up on them. You know, you keep loving them. You keep shining. You keep pointing them in the right direction. I have found in life that it takes time. It takes time to have influence in people's lives. It is rare that you influence someone over a short period of time. It's really rare that you change someone's life that you just met. It takes time. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's who you are. God has called you to shine, and you should be shining bright. Every Christian here, every one of you has a sphere of influence. It's at your work. It's not everybody at your work. It's those that are in your sphere of influence. At school, at the gym. It's not everybody that shows up at the gym. It's the people that you connect with, that you talk to, that you're working out next to maybe. It's at home with your family, your friends, your neighbors. And here's what I want you to do. And do not say this out loud. But I want you to name those people, to bring their faces to mind, and make that part of your prayer life. And we're going to pray for those individuals in a few moments. But the people that are already in your life, people that God could use you to influence and to make a difference, not only in their life, but in eternity. Here's the amazing thing. The jailer that gave his life to Jesus Christ that night, his family, if you read on, also gave their lives to Jesus Christ that evening. Historians believe that that event gave birth to the church that was in Philippi. It's the church that Paul wrote to, the book of Philippians. No wonder they were so close to his heart. Paul wrote them on numerous occasions. Friends, that all started two guys in jail, and they just let their light shine. See, when you shine, you never know what God's going to do, what God's going to do through you. Salt and light. It's who you are. You are influencers in this world. Shine. Shine bright. Make a difference in people's lives. Make a difference in eternity. Mark it. Mark eternity. Salt and light. It's who you are. And when you know who you are, what? You know what to do. You do. We play dumb sometimes, but we know what to do. God, give us the courage to do it. Let's bow in a word of prayer. God, we are salt, and we are light. God, I pray that the names and faces of the people in our life right now, that we'd just name them, that we would, God, just open ourselves to you and say, use us to make a difference. However you see fit, if it takes weeks or it takes years or decades, to just use us. God, forgive us when we don't shine very bright. Forgive us when, well, our life isn't very appealing. God, remind us who we are. Remind us that this world, this is just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. God, may we be honoring with all we say and do. Use us, God. Salt and light. It's who we are. God, help us to do what we need to do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Salt and light. It's who we are. Make a little noise for God.